Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show being brought by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. You can go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm here in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Very pleased to be joined by the head basketball coach at Bucknell, whose team has won three of the last four games, and that is Dave Paulson. Dave, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Well, great to be on the show, Steve.
Let's talk about the Albany game. You went up, hit the road. Danes always have a good program. You were able to win the game. Let's get to a couple of particulars in that one right away. Ben Brackney, what, with his height and his stroke, what does that mean to how you can stretch a defense?
Well, it really helps to stretch a defense, and he's done a really good job for us at playing as what we would call like a stretch four. So we're playing differently this year and playing, you know, he's basically a guard playing at the four-man position. And when he can get it going from the perimeter, it really spaces the floor for us and makes it difficult, you know, for them to match up with us. And then the double-edged sword is if he can kind of give us more than we give up in terms of, you know, around the basket and rebounding,
right,
and dealing with some of those physical presences, then we're in good shape. And, you know, obviously Saturday night he was able to do that and really helped us get going.
We talked early about Cameron Ayers and obviously being, quote, the known entity for you entering the season that teams are concentrated on him. What is it a tribute to? Is it a tribute to him, Dave, that he goes out and still in a team concept gets his and isn't bothered by all the extra attention?
Well, I mean, Cam is an incredibly mature young man. And he was that way when he got here as a freshman. He didn't play like a freshman. I think he's done a really good job of being aggressive and assertive without, you know, I bet he's taken maybe one shot all year where I'm like, I don't know if that was such a good shot, you know.
Right.
So he hasn't forced stuff. He's played within the offense. He had a couple of great assists to Brackney, so he's willing to, you know, find the hot hand. He knows when the rubber meets the road, so to speak. He's a guy that's going to have to take big shots for us. And he's also really defending at a high level as well. So I think he's just playing just superb basketball.
Nearly 70% of your baskets against Albany had assists. For a coach to see that kind of distribution team play, what does it mean to you?
Well, it just embodies everything that we want to be about. It's funny, you know, the day before we played Albany was obviously the 50th anniversary of John F. Kennedy's assassination. And, you know, we try to at least link historical dates, talk to our guys about the context in which we live. And, you know, I say, you know, people assess his presidency, but the thing that stands out for me is ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. And we, you know, that's what we want to embody in our team and in our play, you know, making other guys better. And certainly on Saturday night, that was the case.
You were able to do the job, especially in the second half defensively. You held Albany to just 6 of 22 from the field. What did you do defensively that was better in the second half compared to the opening 20?
Well, I mean, we switched up our coverages a little bit, our ball screen coverages. We helped Brackney a little bit more in the post, some double teams. A little bit of tactical adjustments, but, you know, I think we just let our guys know and know in certain terms, you know, the offense is great, but you can't just go on the road or even at home and just try to outscore people. And part of that, you know, Steve, was tired legs. You know, we got back from Flushing, New York, after playing St. John's at 3 in the morning. Long trip up to Albany. This is a difficult time in the academic calendar for our guys. So, you know, we were just a little bit slower guarding guys off the bounce than normal. And, you know, we're not exactly bunch of fast twitch muscle fiber dudes anyway.
Right.
So we now need every ounce of quickness at our disposal.
Yeah, no question about that. And of course, and you face a team in St. John's with its athleticism. That athleticism, while you can counter it at some point, that also drains you because you're trying to run with them at some points.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's playing against guys 2, 3, 4 inches taller, 20, 30 pounds heavier, a couple seconds quicker in a 40-yard dash.
Yeah.
You know, and it just requires unbelievable focus and concentration on every possession. And over the course of the game, you know, it wears you down. And, you know, we just went on a drought against St. John's late in the game. You know, it's just, I think we had tired legs, and then they blocked. About half the shots we missed, they blocked. I've never seen a shot-blocking team anywhere ever like that. And, you know, so it's just a little bit too much athleticism for our guys.
You have the ultimate Patriot League inside presence in Mike Muscala, who's an NBA-level guy. They drafted him, so that tells you the story there. Brian Fitzpatrick and Dom Hoffman, what are they giving you now on the inside, and is it just enough right now for you to maintain a presence there?
I think they're doing really well. They're scoring around the basket. You know, I think Steven Casper and other guys are really finding them. You know, by playing with four guards around those two guys, basically tag team at the center position, they do have a lot of room to operate. You know, so we maybe don't throw the ball inside as much as we did, but there's more space when we do. They're both scoring at a high clip. They're rebounding pretty well. And, you know, combined, they're averaging, I don't know, about 18 points a game between the two of them. So, and basically, they're splitting the center position. So, you know, at times we play the two of them together, but we've had a little more success, at least up to this point, with a four-guard alignment. But those guys have really done a nice job for us.
Your minutes. Cam played, as usual, 35, 36. But everybody else is pretty much in a range that I think anybody would like to have, which then brings up your bench. Are they giving you the valuable minutes so that you feel comfortable and there isn't the drop from a starter to a guy off the bench?
Well, I think we've gotten good contributions off the bench. You know, that's one of our goals is to make the bench even more productive moving forward. And for some of these guys who either haven't played in the past or are freshmen, you know, like a guy like John Azzanero is going to be, I think, a really good guard for us out of San Antonio. Three of his first four games were against BCS conference schools. And you know, that's a heck of a baptism in fire. And so, you know, looked a little unsure of himself at times, some of our other guys, but not so bad where you say, boy, we can't play him in this game. And then you just hope that, you know, the vast majority of the rest of our schedule is against guys kind of like us, you know, more or less our level opponents. And so the goal is that, you know, as they learn our system better, but also, you know, aren't in awe of going up against guys 5-6 inches taller, that they'll be able to give us a little bit more yet.
You mentioned this is a difficult time in the calendar for you. How do you handle things at this difficult time of the year, so you make sure that they're taking care of all important academics while you're still getting enough basketball work?
Well, you know what? At like this point, I think sometimes less is more. And so we're not practicing excessively long. We're not bringing in for a lot of extra film sessions. We kind of want to just stay fresh and sharp and get them through not only the games, but obviously their academic obligations. And then some of the things that we have to work on in terms of execution that are going to require a little bit more down and dirty work, you know, we're going to have to wait till we have a break when they're in exams and then after exams. So, you know, I've kind of segment our schedule, and at this point we're trying to prepare for our next game, trying to keep our guys fresh and sharp, and then, you know, some of the next phases, if you will, in our progression, we'll wait until after we play Columbia, between Columbia and Marist, we have that break during exams.
Right. One final question. You've got Mount St. Mary's. You're going to hit the road to do that tomorrow night. They have a couple guys I like. It doesn't matter if I like them or not, but I really have always been impressed with both Julian Norfleet and Sam Prescott. What are your thoughts on their team?
You know, they're a really dangerous team. They hadn't won until the other night, and they beat American. They play really, really fast. They press all over the place. You know, they make the game chaotic and frenetic. I think their nickname is Mayhem. You know, Jamie Christian worked for Shaka Smart with Havoc. So, you know, it'll be a game with a little bit contrasting styles, and we need them to take care of the ball and kind of keep the game a little bit more half-court oriented, and they want to race it up. But they've got very talented players, and it's going to be a real dangerous contest.
That'll be tomorrow night. Dave, safe trip with everything going on. Best of luck. And we'll.
Okay, that sounds good, Steve. Happy Thanksgiving.
By the way, I say to you, Dave, to you and yours, happy Thanksgiving. And really, job so far.
Thanks so much. Take care.
Yep, Dave Paulson with us. Joining us on the show. We'll come back. Buhner's back in the house to talk with us a few moments as we continue. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on Pre-Auction Blowout.
Like a 2011 Ford Explorer Limited, only 12,000 miles, $34,999. 2010 Lincoln MKX, just one owner, $24,955. 2012 Kia Optima LX comes with a Carfax buyback guarantee, just $16,399. 2012 Hyundai Sonata, accident-free, fully serviced, just $13,796. And a like-new 2012 Ford Focus SE, lowest price promise, just $16,961. Call 570-286-7746.
All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout.
See the full inventory and schedule a test drive and see what your trade is worth, too, at sunburymotors.com.
At the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Hi, this is Susan Purdy. For over 85 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. Our trained and knowledgeable staff has centuries of experience, so rest assured your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 286-5855, check us out online at purdyinsurance.com, or visit us on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
So if the Ravens win, Kevin has to buy Sarah a Joe Flacco jersey. And if the Steelers win, Sarah has to buy Kevin a Primanti's Brothers sandwich.
Very fair.
I think that's fair.
One's worth $125 to $150, and the other one's worth, what, $9?
Yeah, the Primanti's.
Priceless to Kevin, though.
Well, look, he's racking up. Look, he got a playoff game. He got a couple extra Bucknell games. I mean, he's awashing cash right now. I mean, really. Okay, let's be honest about it. I mean, he's not here today because he's got some offshore account. I don't know what that means. To the IRS, I don't know what that means.
Exactly.
I mean, I just wish he wouldn't brag about it so much. But I think it's in the end, it's fair, and I think it's fun for Bob and me to sit back and watch a game with stakes where we know the individuals involved.
And one will suffer. We know that. There'll be suffering involved. We always like that. Steve, I want to tell you, one of the other great broadcasters here up on Broadcast Mountain, Sean Carey, is taunting Sarah in another studio. He's got his Steelers jersey on. So obviously the tension here will be almost unbearable by Wednesday night.
It's okay, I can take it. I look the other way, you know. I'm like a raven. Come on, just do my job.
Yes, well, yes. So, what jersey does Kerry have on today?
Oh, it's just a Steelers shirt.
Okay, yeah. Doesn't have a number on it. Because
no.
Kevin has actual like names on the back of it.
Yes.
In fact, he has one that has his own name on it.
Yeah,
it's a Steelers jersey with his last name on it. So
yes, he does.
What do you know? What number it is?
It could be the double zero.
It could be a
double zero.
You know what 86 is in restaurant terms? It could be 86.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yes, it could be. Same as double zero.
Exactly. Steve, one thing happened on that involves Kevin, and speaking of him too much, since he's not here to even defend himself, but he had a...
Would it matter?
It would not matter, actually. On Saturday, Kevin got up about 5 o'clock and drove all the way to Lexington, Virginia to do the call of the Bucknell Bison football game against Virginia Military.
I know he texted me Saturday morning.
Oh. And the Bison won for another winning season for Joe Susan and company.
They are in great shape moving forward. I like his young players.
Oh, yeah.
His seniors gave him a really nice foundation. But moving forward, he's got Joe Susan has it going at Bucknell now. I think this was a big step forward the way they played the last 2 months.
No question. They were really on a roll on the end and a convincing end-of-season win over Virginia Military. And on Bucknell basketball, the one name that was not discussed in your excellent interview with Dave Paulson was the guy who drew rave reviews from some veteran broadcasters, Dick Stockton and Bill Raffery, when the Bison played at St. John's, Stephen Casper.
Right.
He was amazing.
Stephen Casper has been... When Dave put him in and said, okay, look, you're the point guard, he solidified everything last year with Joe Willman and Mike Muscala and Johnston and so forth, and along with Cam Ayers. Casper was the missing ingredient.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this year, a little more falls upon his shoulders, and he's handling it with complete ease. A lot of programs across the country would love to have Stephen Casper running their show. He had a good game against Albany. He had 9 assists. Now, I'm sure Dave would not like the 6 turns. But, you know, I mean, well, no coach is going to. But the 9 assists, the distribution, knowing where everybody happens to be. And sometimes, you know, it's not the point guard's fault. It's like a quarterback. There are times where, like, you dish it off and they foul it. Mm-hmm. You know, they foul it up on you and you get the turnover. But Stephen Casper has been a really, really good point guard. And you can argue he's probably the best point guard in the Patriot.
I think you could make a strong case. And, you know, he has that uncanny ability to give a no-look pass that fools just about everybody in the stands and in the opposing team except the guy that it's going to. He just handles the ball extremely well. And I think he was, as you said, like that hidden gem that was behind all the stars of last year's team that when you're defensing Bucknell, you don't try and worry about Stephen Casper last year when you have to worry about Willman, Muscala, Bryson Johnson, Cam Ayers. But he's really stepped it up this year in terms of leadership on the court. And so I think by the time this season is done, he will be the one margin of excellence difference from last year's team to this year's team.
I tell you, what I like is I like the schedule that Dave has.
Mm-hmm.
You know, played at Penn State. Now, Penn State's going to go to Bucknell next year.
We're having dinner where, did you say?
Whatever the restaurant of your choice happens to be.
All right. Fair enough.
Whatever the restaurant of your choice happens to be, and the baby's on me. So
exactly. And the Dairy Queen right outside on Route 15, I think, is excellent. Go there.
That's fabulous. I love Brazier Burgers. Who doesn't? So, yes. And not only that, the trip just got more palatable to my offer of having to pay for it.
Exactly. Right, so. Yeah. Only one trip to the Mac machine will take care of it this year.
Yeah, how to do it. Yep. Although Stanley Steam Shovel that I work with there, too, may change the budget just a bit. Really?
Yes.
This is Sarah, stop laughing.
She is Steve, your audio or video camera into the studio is exactly... She's over here giggling.
Oh, yeah. Always.
I tell you right. I call him the SS Her, Stanley Steam Shovel. SS Her. But, yeah, we'll come in there next year. But look how Dave's scheduled. At Penn State... Albany's a good schedule.
It is a good schedule.
St. John's is a good schedule move. Stanford's a good schedule move. It's going to go down, and they're going to play Mount St. Mary's, and then they got Princeton coming up.
Princeton Saturday night.
Yeah, at Soika.
Yes.
So what you have, I think, is a balanced schedule that really challenges his team so that when they get to the Patriot League, they're not going to see something they haven't already seen before. Now take Mount St. Mary's. Give them credit on their schedule. They've got Bucknell tomorrow. Then they're at Michigan State on Friday.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy?
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Well, is this going to be a ride? I guess the boys from Mount St. Mary's actually get on a plane.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll go down to BWI and they'll fly up there. Now, Mount St. Mary's is in here to play Penn State on the 22nd, which will be the first day that John Johnson is eligible to play for Penn State. People have talked about Penn State's bench to this point, and it's been okay so far. Johnson is going to exponentially change the bench for Penn State. He's not a savior or anything like that, but he's a really good shooter, has become a good defender, and he's going to give them that added jump in the backcourt that he will make a difference in some games for Penn State this year. By the way, Monmouth, tomorrow night at 6, we're on at 5:30. The Steve Show. Now, we got Bill O'Brien tonight, by the way. 6:05 to 7 tonight. Bill O'Brien will be at Damon's tonight on the show, 6:05 to 7. Looking forward to that. Should be a lot of fun.
Always is.
The topic at times won't be fun, but Bill and I seem to have a way of having a good time in spite of whatever the situation is.
I hope he agrees with me on that call of unnecessary roughness. I hope he does.
I'm probably not going to bring up calls because I'm hesitant to bring up calls because they're finable offenses.
Yeah, they are, especially with the head coach.
Yeah.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Proud as always to be on WKOK, News Radio 1070, every day, Monday through Friday. It's my home. Glad you've made it your listening home as well. And Carol Wilkinson, Wilson commented on our Facebook page. All she put down was Ravens-Steelers. Yeah.
Yep, Sarah's smiling at the mention of that.
I asked which Thanksgiving Day game are you most looking forward to? So someone said Raiders, obviously, and Matt McGloin.
Yeah, it was because of McGloin, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, well, it was Matt's parents doing that, apparently.
Paul and Kathy McGloin were... That's two responses.
Steve, I think Sarah has a big announcement about some Penn State tickets.
Oh, yeah, I just finalized today that we do have some Penn State basketball tickets to give away for every home game coming up, so we'll be doing that on WKOK, except for, I will say this, not except for the Princeton game. But other than that...
Right, that's the rec hall game, yeah.
So we'll be doing that, and we'll have that coming up at some point here on WKOK in the next few weeks.
This is a good basketball team. That tells you about Bucknell's win.
Yeah.
But this is a good basketball team. The win over LaSalle last week was a cohesive, well-put-together performance. Yesterday, they were expected to win big. They won big. There is something good about doing the expected. And anything can happen at this time of the year. Look at the struggle Duke had with all their NBA players. And, of course, Mike's a great coach. Okay? But at the same time, Vermont went in there and took them down to the wire. A lot of things can happen at this time of the year that are crazy. I mean, Belmont, we know, is an established team because of what they've done making the NCAA tournament. I believe 4 consecutive years under Richard Byrd down there, and they love him down there.
Oh, yeah.
It's a fabulous program. And they beat North Carolina. Louisville finally lost a game. Then North Carolina beat Louisville. So Louisville's streak is finally over. If people were talking about how Michigan State struggled with Columbia, everybody has players, and if you shoot the ball well and so forth, okay, Penn State's 4-1. King Rice is bringing his Monmouth team in here tomorrow night, and then Penn State plays St. John's on Friday, and they play either Ole Miss or Georgia Tech on Saturday. Then it's Pitt after that. This is a good basketball team. They can score with anybody. I mean, yesterday they eclipsed the 90-point barrier for the first time since 2009, but they're averaging almost 80 points a game. Scoring nationally is up across the board. Let me give you an idea of where things, certain things stand. And, you know, let's take yesterday's game. There are certain things that Dick and I consider to be important, okay, that maybe, you know, you're trying to at least tell fans, you know, what's important and what to look for. Okay, let's take yesterday. Penn State's points per possession yesterday, 1.4. Okay, 1.4 points per possession. That's astronomical. Okay, astronomical 1.4 points a possession. Now the next thing is Penn State averaged almost 1.7 points a shot yesterday. 1.7 points a shot. Now we've had 1,762 games played so far. The average in scoring across the country is 75 points per game. At the moment, scoring is up 7.5 points per game from last season.
That is just a huge statistic because that's a 10% jump in 1 year.
Yes, it is.
That's not supposed to happen that way.
Now, fouls are up too, but the fouls are only up 2.6 fouls a game. Okay? Now, that, you know, the 2.6, then you're talking about, let's round it up. Let's say 3 fouls a game more. So 3 fouls a game more are being called. I think people would have assumed it's 15 to 20 fouls more per game, but it's actually 3 fouls per game. So that's where that stands at that moment. Now,
didn't we think because of some rule changes that there'd be some prognosticators were opining it would be a huge increase in fouls because of the checking rules and things like that?
Right, exactly. Now that stat, I think, now I want to be fair about that. That might be 2.6 fouls per team.
Okay.
If that is, then you're talking about 5 fouls per game more. If you take 2.6 mm-hmm. and double it comes to 5.2. So we'll round down to 5 because it's just closer to that number. So you're talking about 5 more fouls per game being called, which means there's 1 foul extra every 8 minutes. Okay? That's what it comes down to.
It does.
That's what it comes down to, 1 extra foul every 8 minutes.
Steve,
I will say this. We've seen, but I'll say this, Bob.
Okay,
I didn't mean
sorry,
to cut
go ahead.
No, sorry about that. We've seen from the first week, games have been called differently and better in the succeeding weeks, where I feel like there's some normalcy compared to the opening week to 10. How about that?
Steve, I was just going to say, for all those listeners out there who believe that you did not pay attention in math class back in your Penn State student days, you proved them wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Your multiplication and division and skills are pretty impressive, I have to say.
Yeah, I feel sharp. I mean, 100 yards divided by 25 carries is 4 yards a carry. But we use some. But it when you do a broadcast, and this is something I had to learn, because and you get stereotyped. I mean, people have stereotyped me, and they've said that I use all these stats all the time and so forth. And early in my career, I did. Early in those people who have said that he's all stats. Well, part of it is, of course, I took the time to research it.
Yeah.
But number two, I used too many stats early in my career. I backed way off on what stats I use now. Way off. I don't really use a lot during the course of the game, except ones I think are relevant to the moment. And it's the same thing in football. Once you get stereotyped, that's the way it is. People just have an image of who you are, what you are, and so forth. I get that.
Yeah.
But I also know that as a broadcaster and you mature in this thing, you sit back and you start figuring out what's relevant and what isn't. And I know I've told my class repeatedly, I said, I've got stats all over the place here. I said, I'm telling you right now, I might not use 5% of those stats, but it's a different 5% every game. So you just don't know what's relevant to that particular moment. I mean, because I've got, let's take football. I have stats on there as to 70-yard drives, drives under 4 minutes, 50-yard drives, field position, the importance of that, 2-minute drills, third and less than 4, third and 5+, first down. run-pass ratio on first down, halftime leads, Penn State three-and-out percentage this year. I mean, I've got all that on my chart. You know, opening drive of half, opening drive of second half, defense opening drive versus opening drive of second half. I've got all that on my chart. Now, do I use all that during the course of the game? No way. I have a player stat on everybody, how many tackles, sacks, things like that, yards per catch. But I don't use hardly any of it unless it's apropos to the moment. But, you know, you got to be, you know, same thing in basketball. I got stats all over the place on everything, and there's just no way I use, even a fraction of it there. But in case I need one, that is to the moment, it's there. Now, points per possession is important because that talks to you about pace. Okay, pace is what that goes with. You're 1.4 points of possession, and how many possessions? Penn State is up over 70 possessions a game. There were games in the last 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, where Dick and I were talking about if they keep the number of possessions to 55 to 60, they're in great shape in this game by keeping the possessions down. Now they're up over 70 possessions a game because they want to go, go, go. They want pace out there. It's far more entertaining brand of basketball to watch. The key is whether or not you can be good enough defensively in this thing.
Yeah, and get stop the transition of the other team if they're playing up to the pace you're playing.
Right.
Got to break that up.
Yeah, no, I mean, no question. I mean, I think the rules that they have put in, now, I was talking about Duke, Vermont. Let's take that. The rules that they have right now should really favor the Dukes of the world. Look, you have all the talent. If I give you freedom of movement, right, and the freedom of passing, and you're not going to be hacked and slowed down all the time, the more talented team should win the game. Really, the rules, and I'm not picking on Duke. I'm using them as an example. They're an awesome program.
Yeah, great example.
I'm saying, though, they're an example of a team. The rules should benefit them because of the talent that they have. The rules should benefit Kentucky because of the talent they have. The upper crust teams should benefit by these rules because of the scoring that's put in place.
Apparently, Vermont didn't get that memo.
What is wrong with them? I guess the game was decided when Vermont was walking the ball up the floor and they called Vermont for a foul, and like, all the Vermont players were just standing together at the time. No, just kidding.
Hey,
Just kidding.
But, you know, that goes back to the old days of Hack-a-Shack, you know, to take the athleticism out of a game by going after a guy like Shaquille O'Neal.
You're seeing that now with Dwight Howard.
Yes.
He's getting the same treatment with the Houston Rockets, that people are going after him in games because they think their best shot at winning games, especially when they get to the, you know, when they're in a position behind, they have to fight from behind, is to put him on the line. And of course, that slows the game down exponentially. And, you know, I don't mind the 7-10 formula right now. I think I'm fine with that. I had a friend of mine suggest that maybe they should move it to 8. I don't think they need to do that. I think what they're doing now, I think they got to stay in the same track they're on right now. I'm really enjoying the block charge thing being called correctly. I'm really enjoying that part because I think that the vast majority of these, I'm going to jump in the last second. Yeah, I got a charge. You're like, come on. You jumping here. Other notes for you. Derek Rowe for the year, it's the meniscus in the other knee. Feel awful for the kid. You really do. Team that's really good this year in college basketball, you may not realize, is UMass. They're back in the top 25 again. Michigan State's number one.
Not since the days of John Calipari at UMass.
Yeah, exactly right. So they're back in. BCS remains the same. Alabama, Florida State, Ohio State. Then the two changes. Auburn's now 4. They have Alabama this week. Missouri is now 5. So you're looking at that at this particular point.
The
St. Louis Cardinals did something that, as somebody who at least has some working knowledge of the Cardinals organization, they did something that really surprised me. They signed Johnny Peralta. And I was really surprised by that. Now, is he a good short-term fix in St. Louis? Yeah, he is. But he's coming off that 50-game drug suspension. Yeah, and the thing about the, if you recall correctly, the 50 games allowed him to come off the list 3 games remaining in the regular season.
Right.
And he was able to, you know, he was able to play in the, all the postseason. Remember, Nelson Cruz played in game 163 when he was finally eligible in the game they lost. Now, the Cardinals don't usually do something like this. Now, as a short-term fix, he's a great short-term fix. There's no question about that. No doubt.
Well, I'm sure if the Cardinals are going to have a few clauses in Mr. Peralta's contract about some issues, I have a feeling.
Well, first of all, that's covered by the Major League Baseball Players Association, but it's a 4-year deal worth $50 million.
Wow. That's
now, I'll say that the Cardinals did say, they said, look, when it came time, push came to shove, he said he admitted what he did and he took his medicine.
Yeah, literally.
but he admitted to it. He didn't pull the dramatics and histrionics of guess who.
Yeah, some guy that just is going through arbitration right now in New York City.
Yeah. So you, what did you have?
Oh, what I was going to ask you about, you know, it was a busy Sunday in University Park because on one side of campus you were calling the Longwood game, but on the other side of campus, on the west side, I think, it was a huge wrestling match. And I think it involved the Lock Haven Bald Eagles coming to wrestle the Lions.
Well, I know they had a big crowd, and I know Penn State won, but that's about the extent of what
They won 8 out of 10, and the final score was 30-something to 6, I believe. And Penn State got a chance to look at some underclassmen to step up because the Alton brothers still not in the lineup. Ed Ruth, as we know from the interview you did last week, not in the lineup for a month. I think the heavyweight was not a starter. And that was for the Alton brothers, you know, being able to wrestle against being from Lock Haven and Central Mountain High School, not being able to wrestle against the Lock Haven University team, kind of sad that way. But the Lions wrestling team doing well.
Well, they always didn't. Look, he has a great team and a great program.
Yeah.
I mean, they sold out 6,500, but I mean, they have a great product and the tickets are cheap.
I'm astounded by that. It cost as much to go to a high school football game around here as it does to see the 3-time defending national champion wrestling team in Rec Hall. I don't understand that.
Well, it's smart, okay? It's smart. First, you have to be realistic about what you have, right? If I have a non-revenue producing sport, okay,
mm-hmm.
All right, the most important thing for me, and that's great, is to just get people there. I mean, if you want to overcharge, what to do? What I mean, you're going to overcharge to do what? Close your $1 million deficit in the program? What? I mean, that's not the right thing to do. I think Penn State's doing the right thing where they just want to make sure as many people can get in as possible, watch a great team perform at the same time, because there's not going to be any – there are no financial expectations of this program.
That's true.
There are no financial expectations for the baseball program. There are no financial expectations for volleyball. There certainly aren't for women's basketball or anything like that. There just aren't. So I think the most important item – you get to, quote, non-revenue sports, is make it as affordable so as many people go, and they get an awesome product, and I think that's fine. I think what UConn did in women's basketball is they overpriced themselves. UConn in women's basketball, they started charging at one point $22 a head to see them play at the Hartford Civic Center. Well, guess what? Now people are like, you know, with today's economy, people are like, I'm not going to pay that to go. You know, I know they're awesome and great, but I'm not going to go pay to see it. And I think that Penn State's done the right thing in this regard. They've got the tickets, I think, at the right price to see an absolutely awesome product. And I think the most important thing is to get bodies there because, look, it's you know, you're not going to sit there and go, hey, You could transform the athletic department and make money here. You're not going to make money here. Well, you know, it's not going
to
happen.
But I'll tell you, Steve, the crowd that goes to Penn State wrestling, and I am familiar with quite a few of them because a lot from the Susquehanna Valley trek up to Penn State to see them. It's financially a pretty well-heeled crowd. I think the tickets are like $6.
Yeah. Exactly.
Raise them to seven. I'm just kidding. But, you know, it's amazing to me that that's all it costs. And I'm looking forward to the day when they move over to the Bryce Jordan, bring in Iowa, and charge a reasonable price. The place will be a sellout.
I think you do that once.
Yeah, exactly.
Once a year. You stay in rec hall, you do that once a year. You got to be realistic about what you have.
But that rec hall environment for wrestling, it's palpable. You can feel it.
Sure,
it really is. And you're right. There's not a bad seat in the house, pretty much. And you feel like you're right there on the mat with the wrestlers. Right. It's an amazing experience.
See, it's one of the things they had to do for the rec hall basketball game. They had to go in and measure all the way around. And guess what? The seats had to be pushed back because when they redid rec hall, a volleyball court and a wrestling mat don't take up as much room as a basketball court. So they moved the seats in to get them closer, trying to do that. Now, the end zones are still a joke, but I mean, that's just the way you get. Structurally, you can't do anything else. That's always laughed about rec hall. Like, you know, the end zone, like the one is like, hey, it's across the street. So it's like, okay. But the ones on the sides are right up on top of the action.
Yeah,
which is really cool. So you're right. We'll wrap it up in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, and News Radio 1070 WKOK. Bobby, thanks so much, bud.
You're welcome. What are you doing tonight, Steve?
I got Bill O'Brien, 6:05 to 7:00. And that will be at Damon's this evening. We'll talk about Nebraska, Wisconsin, and also what is next for the program. That's all tonight.
Awesome.
Sarah, thank you.
Thank you. I will talk to you tomorrow.
That's looking forward to it. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. And our thanks, as always, to our good friends at the Sunbury Motors Company, SMC. Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 to 15. Hubble's Wharf, talk to you an hour from Damon's on News Radio 1070 WKOK.